Can we turn to the Gospel by John again, please, and chapter 3. John chapter 3. And although we looked at it last night, we're going to read from verse 16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. No doubt God will bless to each heart his precious word. You know, that's one thing that we can be sure of. Even if the preaching is poor, God's word is always the same, and God can bless his word to every heart. Now, on Sunday evening, I quoted from John chapter 7 the words, "Not at any time has any man spoken as this man." Those were words that were said about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been looking at some of the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw, first of all, John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The new birth is not an alternative way to heaven. It's the only way to heaven. You'll never get there if you never experience what it is to be born again. Then yesterday evening, we looked at verse 16, the best known statement ever made by any human being throughout the course of history. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the reason for which there are meetings held here each of these evenings, because of God's love. If it wasn't for the love of God, we would have no message to bring to you. Certainly not a message of forgiveness and a message of blessing. But God does love the world, and God loves the world with such an intensity that he gave his only begotten Son, not just to be born in Bethlehem, but to die upon the cross in order that he might provide salvation for every single one of us. God's love goes out to the whole human race. No one has ever sinned so much that God has ceased to love that individual. God loves all. Now, it's very possible that you could go out of this world not saved, but you will never leave this world not loved, because God loves every single human being. And he paid such an immense price in order that you might be saved. You see, God couldn't save without the Lord Jesus paying the price for our sins on the cross. It was an absolute necessity. We saw from verse 14 of our chapter, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. If we were to have eternal life, the Son of Man must be lifted up upon the cross. And so he died to make salvation available to you and me. You know, that's an amazing thing to me, that he should love me at all, but that he would love me so much that he gave the very best he had, his own Son, to be punished on account of our sins. It just blows the mind. But that's the truth of the matter. Now this evening, I want us to look more closely at the verses that follow. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The first thing I want to talk about is what God could have done. What God could have done. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He could have sent his Son into the world to condemn the world. God had the moral right to send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And if God only acted in righteousness, that is exactly what God would have done. He would have sent his Son in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that believe not the gospel. But God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So that's what God could have done. He could have sent him to condemn the world. You say, well, why would God condemn the whole world? For one simple reason. All have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us that is excluded from that statement. Every single one of us has sinned. We saw the other evening that we didn't become sinners when we sinned. We sinned because we are sinners. That's the nature that we inherited from Adam. And it's true of every individual. And as Brother Dave mentioned the other night, there has only ever been one human being in this world of which that is not true, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was absolutely without sin. And maybe in a few moments we'll touch on that subject, why it was that he was without sin. What God could have done. Then I want us to see what the consequences would have been if God had sent his Son into the world to condemn the world. If we were to turn to Revelation chapter 20, there we would read of the last great judgment. Now this is not just a potential judgment. It's an actual judgment that will take place. John says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and earth passed away. My mind's gone blank. I saw a new heaven and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat in it, from whose face the heaven and earth passed away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And listen to this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What those verses are telling us is this. At the last great judgment, all the unbelieving dead are going to be raised from their graves and reunited with their souls, and they will stand before the throne of God. And seated upon that throne will be the one whom men judged, namely the Lord Jesus. You say, how do I know it'll be the Lord Jesus? Well, he tells us in John chapter 5 the Father has committed all judgment unto the Son, because he is the Son of Man. And if you are not saved during your lifetime, you will one day stand at that great white throne. And there are two sets of books. There are the books, and on the other hand, there is the book of life. And the book of life contains the names of all those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And those books will be opened not to see if your name is there, but to prove that your name is not there. And then God will judge you out of the books according to your works. You see, God is keeping a record of your life. Things that you have done that you ought not to have done. Things that you have not done that you ought to have done. And not only your actions, even your thought life, your motives, your ambitions, it will all be opened up at that great white throne judgment. You will see your life not as you have perceived it to be, but as God knows it to be. And on the basis of that judgment, you will be cast into the lake of fire. And that's not the end. That's just the beginning of an unending eternity without God, and without Christ, and without hope. But listen, God doesn't want you to go there. We saw last night, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be lost forever, but have everlasting life. That's why Christ died, because God doesn't want you to go there. But listen, if you will not receive the medicine and apply the medicine to yourself, God has no alternative but to send you there. It won't be his choice for you. It will be your choice for yourself. But listen, our verse says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. When he came the first time, that's not why he came. When he comes the second time, that will be why he comes. But in the meanwhile, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is why God sent his Son into the world. So the eternal Son of God came into the world. Did you notice the word? Sent him into the world. You and I were not sent into the world. This is where we started. We had no existence before we came into the world. Christ is eternal. He's the eternal Son of God. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So he sent his Son into the world that the world through him might be saved. Now I want you to think about that word, saved. It's a very old-fashioned word. At least you might think so. But in actual fact, it is a word that's used in everyday language. I've used this illustration before. I remember when we lived in England many, many years ago, there was a family who'd gone out in their boat into the sea. And somehow they got lost at sea. And they sent all the recovery people out there to try to find them, but they could not find them at sea. But then a freighter happened to pass just where their boat was. And they were brought on board, and then the television people came and interviewed them. And do you know what the man said when he was interviewed? He said, "I can hardly believe that we've been saved." So it is a modern word too. Saved infers two things. Saved infers a danger to which we stand exposed. But it also infers a danger from which we have been delivered. Okay? A danger to which we stand exposed, but also a danger from which we have been delivered. And if there has never been a moment in your life when you personally have received the Lord Jesus by faith as your Savior, you stand in grave danger. The opposite of saved is lost. You know, sometimes we talk about people being unsaved. The Bible never talks about people being unsaved. Because unsaved could infer that maybe the person was saved, that now they've become unsaved. No, you're either saved or you're lost. Now tell me, where do you stand tonight? Are you saved? Or are you lost? Are you rejoicing in God's salvation? Or do you still stand exposed in your sin? So, saved infers a danger to which you stand exposed. And that danger is the danger of suffering eternally the consequences of your sins. Now, I know I've used this illustration lots of times here, but I've never heard a better one. So I'm going to use it again. I want to use an illustration of what eternal means. Imagine a gigantic eagle flying to some remote beach in this world and picking up one grain of sand. And then flying out into space. We'll give him credit of flying at the speed of light, 183,000 miles a second. And he flies to the most distant star. It takes him more than 10 billion years. And then he drops that one grain of sand on that distant planet. And then he flies back to Earth and picks up the next grain of sand and out to that distant star. And the next grain of sand and the next grain of sand until every grain of sand has been removed off every beach and every desert in the world. And then he flies back to Earth and he plucks one blade of grass and out to that distant star. And the next blade of grass and the next blade of grass until every blade of grass and every leaf off every tree has been removed to that distant star. Listen, when he has done all that, eternity has just begun. In fact, you're still at the very beginning. It just goes on and on forever. And where you will be a split second after you die is where you will be forever. Either in heaven with Christ or in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Okay. So what does it mean to be saved? You know, that's the wonderful thing about this word saved. The Bible doesn't talk about the possibility of being saved. The Bible talks about people being saved. Paul could say of God, who has saved us. Do you know, there are people in this room tonight who are saved. And they're not only saved, they know they're saved. You say to me, how do you know you're saved? Well, I was there when it happened. I remember the experience as though it was just yesterday. As a young soldier, I got down on my knees and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And that very moment I was saved, and I have been saved every moment of every day since. And I will be saved forever. That could be your experience. Okay. Does that mean that everybody is saved? God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why Christ died on the cross. And when He was punished for our sins on the cross, He was punished on the behalf of every single person that has ever lived in this world, or whoever will live in this world. Listen, He was punished on account of your sins. He bore the judgment that was due to you. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul reminds the Corinthian Christians of the gospel that he had brought to them some 5 years earlier, when they were heathen idolaters, bowing down to images of wood and stone and involved in all sorts of immoral practices. He said, "This is the gospel that I brought to you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the message He preached to them the first time He was in Corinth. So Christ died on the behalf of the whole world. Does that mean everybody is saved? No, it doesn't. Notice what our verse says. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. This room is composed of two groups of people, and I don't mean because we've got two sets of rows, nor do I mean into male and female, nor do I mean into adult and child. It's divided between people who are saved and people who are lost. People who are not condemned and people who are condemned. Now listen. Listen very carefully. Which group do you fit into? Can you say, "I'm saved and I know I'm saved"? Or are you not saved? Are you still on the broad road that leads to destruction? Has there never been a moment in your life when you have personally trusted Christ? Well, if you're not saved, the next question is, well, what must we do to be saved? I remember, I guess it's probably still available, but there used to be a tract. And it had the quotation of part of a verse from Acts chapter 16 on the outside. It said, "What must I do to be saved?" And when you opened up, the inside was blank. And then when there was an explanation on the back page. And the inference of that blank page was, there's nothing we can do to be saved. And what the writer was trying to infer was, the work has all been done, by done on the cross. But you know, that can give a false impression. Because when the Philippian jailer asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul did not reply, "Nothing. It's all been done." He replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's a choice that you must make. Nobody can make it for you. God's not going to twist your arm and make you trust Christ. You know, when Christ was down here, He never forced an entry into anyone's life. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. The latch is on the inside. You and I have to open the door. That's what we have to do in order to be saved. Well, what happens if we don't trust Christ? He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If we were to look at the last verse of this chapter, and it's not a verse quoted by Christ, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You get that? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that wrath is just waiting to be poured out. And if you never do receive Christ as your Savior, one day, you're going to experience that wrath. But listen, God doesn't want it. It's not God's choice for you. But the choice is yours tonight. Will you receive Christ as your Savior? Will you recognize that you are a sinner? And that as a sinner, you do deserve to go to hell? But that Christ died for you upon the cross. And if you will simply receive him by faith, to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be called children of God, even to as many as believe on his name. Trust the Lord will bless his word to each one.